We now go to the Windsor, Detroit area, where an alien craft has just landed.
I want you men to surround the craft. Chris, you stay with me.
What are we going to do, Jeff?
We're going in.
What? They're extraterrestrials.
What are you doing here? Why have you come here?
We have come here to listen to 99.1 FM CJAM.
99.1 FM CJAM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Milwaukee Mike is the Midwest Associate Editor for CycleSource Magazine, a grassroots motorcycle magazine based in Pennsylvania, USA. He's been with the magazine since 2006, and he joins us today to talk about the magazine, bikes, the road, and more. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the magazine first. Maybe talk a little bit about the history and how long you've been with them.
Well, Chris, a good friend of mine, his name is Chris Callen. He started this magazine out of his house. It is starting on 16 years ago now, and it was a free magazine, you know, advertiser-sponsored, something similar to like a Quick Throttle, in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, which is where he lives and where the magazine is still based out of. And years ago, he went national to a national format and now does a monthly. And he's up to 193 issues now with this current one that just is hitting the stands next week. So every 30 days, there's a cycle source on the stand, a new cycle source on the stand for the last 16 years. And it's a bit of a crunch, but we somehow pull it off with our gang of misfits every month.
It's labeled as a grassroots magazine, and so explain that.
The basic thing is it's all the guys and girls, guys and gals that work for the magazine, all come from a motorcycling background, a riding background. We're not a specific magazine. Like, I'm not going to name names, but there's, you know, magazines tend to be kind of geared towards a certain type of motorcycle or a certain type of riding. We do everything. We're not judgmental. We cover racing. We cover chopper scene. We do customs, riding, long distance riding, short distance riding. We have pretty good ties with Harley Davidson, Indian, Polaris, and the new Indians and the new Polaris Victory bikes. We do a lot of vintage stuff because 90% of the guys who write it or people who contribute to the magazine all have vintage bikes. Almost all of us own. Well, I've got six old Triumphs, an old Norton, an old BSA, and three vintage Harley Davidsons. So there's cool. We all have, and then on top of it, I've got newer Harleys that I pound a lot of miles on. My newest bike is actually a '94 FLHTC, which is a bagger, or in Canada, a Decker, according to Jill. Come back to what you were saying. The grassroots thing basically is, if you were to pick up a magazine and it's written by a bunch of people that just get on airplanes and fly from here to there and show off all the neato kind of things that the celebrity biker gets to do, or you're only dealing with famous folks or famous bikes, how interested are you actually really going to be as a, you know, just a normal working guy who picks it up? So we try to keep it like, one of the big things that I like that Chris pushes hard is we try to ride to everything we absolutely can. Right. Which in turn everybody does. So all the guys, all the people, all the gals, everyone, like when we go to Sturgis, we go in Sturgis in like six bikes and a van, you know, and it's crazy because then you're just much more mobile on two wheels. And if that's what you're writing about, you should be doing it. You know, it's that simple.
And now with you being your Midwest Associate Editor, so tell us what that entails a little bit, and what do you write about?
Well, it's what I do as the Midwest Associate Editor is I get the advantages of being able to cover anything and everything that I absolutely can that occurs as far as events, bike shows, nights out, you know, rides, whatever, that are in the Midwest. I also do a fair amount of work with one.
a really cool grassroots publication, Cycle Source Magazine. Check them out online, cyclesource.com, for more information, and to check out the writing of Milwaukee Mike.
Up in Minneapolis.
I'll see everybody next week. Thanks for listening.
Choppers in his shop class. He's a shop teacher, and people who know him as Teach, and that's Kevin. He's awesome. And one of the other guys that I deal with a lot is my buddy Jack. Jack lives out in Phoenix, and he does a lot of the stuff that happens in the Southwest and into Southern California. And so I go out there quite a bit and do what I can, because anytime I can run away from winter and go riding in Arizona is awesome. And he is also the host of all the Broken Spoke properties all over the country. So he goes to all the big rallies too, and he's there representing Broken Spoke, but he's always got an eye out for Cycle Source as well. So I help those guys, and I do go to as much as I can and do as much as I can to keep things flowing. And anytime that I can be on site to rep for the magazine, I'll be there. I'll do it.
Yeah, has that changed over time for you as far as
quite a bit actually.
Going to different events, yeah. And now you might find you're going to more so you can write about it too.
And right? It's one of those things, like I'd go to the events anyway, but I'd go more as a spectator. Now I'm actually more participating and stuff. So
and looking for more things to write about too.
Yeah, and it's not only just the bikes and the bike features, but there's also like there's stories. There's a ton of stories. You know, like there's a good
hopefully
angle.
We get a couple of those from you.
There's a good angle for almost any story, and mm-hmm. like, you know, everybody's heard the I found a bike in a barn and I pulled it all apart and put it back together. Everybody's seen that, and there's nothing wrong with that, and there's still those stories still amaze me. But sometimes there's a human angle, you know, there's a good story about, you know, I did a really good one a couple of months ago. A guy built a bike for his brother who had passed away and didn't even know his brother had this bike in his garage. And when the widow called him up and said, hey, are you going to come and get rid of this thing or what? And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, didn't even know his brother had this bike squirreled away in his garage, and it was this beautiful knucklehead, and he put it back together, you know. So those, you know, like great. You know, there's always the human side. Again, it comes back to grassroots. You know, you're these are just normal folks. You know, these aren't superstars or, you know, anybody that's, you know, in any other kind of media, but they deserve every inch of respect and anything they get, you know.
Well, magazines like TV shows sometimes get too commercialized, too celebritized. And yeah, it's cool that you, and the magazine's pretty awesome. I mean, there's, it's so filled with a lot of great, vivid pictures, and even with all the custom again, bikes and stuff,
yeah,
really comes, cool, a lot that, of cool little bikes.
That comes back to Chris and his incredible eye for catching things and relying on the guys like myself and some of our photographers like Sarah Liberty and Darren McKaig, and who's also a fantastic artist and does some of the art stuff in the magazine, and a fantastic tattoo artist as well. Mm-hmm. And guys like Bare Knuckle Paul, who does all from Bare Knuckle Choppers, he does all the tech stuff. And Big Will from Faith Forgotten is recently, and he's, you got to remember though, this goes back 15 years, and there's whole casts of people that are no longer, they're still around, but they don't necessarily work with the magazine anymore, not because of anything bad, just because they went a different direction, they don't have time anymore, mm-hmm. you know. And it's all those people that over the last, you know, last year we did four big parties to celebrate the 15-year anniversary of the magazine, and we went to Brooklyn, we went to Sturgis, and we did Daytona, and we did Las Vegas, and we had big parties, and all the people that just they get what we do, and they like what we do, and they're happy to open their doors and their hearts to us, and it's awesome. It's humbling, and it's awesome.
You know? Now, you mentioned some of the people that, you know, from the magazine mm-hmm. and whatnot, or that maybe some that have come and gone, but is it a big group that works on the magazine?
It is, and it's not necessarily the same 10 people every month. There's new people that come in and contribute and bring their own spice or their own flavor to everything. You know, we've got new photographers that actually this month we have a new photographer that just started. I don't know very much about her yet, but I look forward to meeting her. I know she comes from a fine art background and a fine photography background, but she's also shot a fair amount of bikes and worked in the moto industry for years too. So we look forward to her coming down to our level a little bit and getting dirty.
Something I wanted to ask you as well about the magazine and, you know, your knowledge of it from maybe before you were there as well is advertisers. How open were advertisers, you know, to advertise the magazine maybe when it started or back in
again, when it started? And that would be something you'd have to more talk to Chris about in the early days, because that was before my time. But since I've been there, I mean, we've gone, since he's gone national, of course, now we get national advertisers. One of our biggest ones is we deal a lot with SNS. SNS is one of our large advertisers. And because they're in my backyard, I get to deal with them kind of directly. So does Chris. You know, they're based out of Wisconsin. I live in Milwaukee. They're about an hour and a half, 2 hours away. And the other nationals, you know, like, I mean, they can pick up a copy here and just you know, start.
Yeah, we have some copies right here.
Yes, we
they're
do.
Awesome. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. You know, here's another one. Me and Chris went out to Knight Rider Jewelry out in Arizona in December and spent 3 days with those guys checking out their process. And a big thing that we try to promote over and over again is Made in the USA. And this is something that Paul works on with the motorcycle parts. And these guys came to us, actually. We didn't even go looking for them. They came to us because they picked up a copy of that magazine and really
liked. I'm
sure
you get more of that nowadays.
Yeah, and you know, it's becoming more and more. And there you go, right there, the American Pride page, you know, right there, bare knuckle. That's Paul, and Paul's pushing that constantly. So, Viola, I'm sorry. SNS is in Viola, Wisconsin. And, you know, there's Will and doing his thing and Chris doing his editorials. And, you know, you try not, you know, Performance Machine, another American-made company.
And I saw book reviews and stuff in
book,
here, too.
Yeah. Chris does a lot of art and a lot of books. And we try to do a little bit of everything. You know, here we had the chili contest and all this month, too. And here's Chris. One of the ads or one of the articles this month is Chris out in working with the guys at Indian Larry Legacy out in Brooklyn, twisting steel like Indian Larry used to, you know. Mm-hmm. And so and we're also starting to move the magazine into Europe, Canada, and New Zealand and Australia. So it won't be long, and we're going to start getting more international. One of the guys that used to live in Milwaukee that has written for me and for Chris and done photographs and stuff for different parties because he travels he's international. He does business internationally. So he goes to some of these more international things than I get to go to. And he's hooking us up with a whole group of people over in Europe. Now we're actually going to end up sponsoring a bike show, one of the biggest chopper bike shows in Germany, in August, September, actually. It's in the end of August. And we're still putting everything together, but it's a big thing in Germany called Chopper Town. And we're going to be one of the magazine sponsors or the magazine sponsor. I'm not sure yet. We have a lot of particulars that's still got to cross the T's and dot the I's, you know. So we're looking forward to that, and so far the little bit that we've put out in Europe has been very well received. The people love over there love this magazine because, like the people here, it's just normal people. Mm-hmm. It's not right. All superstars and rock stars and the same crap you see. You know, it's not to say that we won't cover that. We absolutely do, but I'm actually working on a piece right now. One of the guys from Sons of Anarchy, Theo Rossi, had a bike built by a shop out in L.A., in the L.A. area, called Born Free Cycles. And I'm talking to this guy, Alex, and so is Chris. We're talking to Alex, the guy who built the bike, and I talked to Theo when I was in Boston a month ago. And he's gonna either auction or raffle the bike off, I'm not sure yet, and give all the money to relief for Sandy, you know, from the disaster on the East Coast, and because he's from that part of the world. And so we'll be covering that. And the bike was out in California, and one of the photographers that I work with, Bart Mitchell, he shot the bike with Theo and that on it, and the guys who built it, Alex and the guys from Born Free also. So that'll be a feature and or a cover sometime in the future, I'm hoping, very soon. Cool. And it's little things like that. I come across, you know, people bring stuff to me, or I go seek things out that are interesting to me. I try to keep always with the American made, you know, like, and we're not trying to diss Canada, no way. You know, we love Canada too. And
do we make anything?
Yes, you do, actually. You make a lot. And one of the shops that I deal with, because they're personal friends of mine, is a couple of guys from Manitoba that own a shop. It's two brothers and some various miscreants that own a shop over in Brandon, Manitoba, the guys from Cyclosaurus. Hi, Brent. And they build unbelievable motorcycles, and they don't get near the credit they should. And actually, we've run a couple of their bikes in different formats in the magazine over the last couple of years, and one of the best bikes, one of the better bikes that he's built, he actually did a ton of legwork on it, and then the guy, it was a Canadian guy, somebody from there, and then the guy upped and moved to California and then took all the credit for building the bike.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that happens. You know, it's one of those things. I shouldn't say all the credit. He did credit back, but it was like there's so much stuff that Brent in particular did. And Brent's an unbelievable fabricator, and I'm actually going to have him do some work for me. I got a little rigid Evo chopper that I'm going to have him remake and do up in his style, but it's still going to be... I still want it to be simple, you know, so it's going to be... very clean, but once he's done with it, it'll be a lot of handmade, you know, stuff. And that's because that's what he does, and he does it very well.
Well, at least with you guys being that that grassroots publication, some of the guys that are maybe more maligned by mainstream commercial, more commercialized magazines, stuff like that, media, then they get a little bit of attention at least.
You know? Well, yeah, and it's one of those things like you never want to be so untouchable or unattainable that like the average guy can't just walk up and tell you how much they enjoy your magazine. And
yeah, very cool.
That's something that I get to do on a regular basis. I go to something and I'm not a big fan of being photographed a ton. It's not really my thing, you know. And I like to let my words speak for me. And when people see you and I'm wearing a CycleSource shirt or have a press pass or something on, and they know you work for the magazine, and they go out of their way to come tell you how much they enjoy reading Chris's editorial every month. I get that one a lot. Or they enjoy reading what I wrote or how I covered, you know, hey, I know this guy and you wrote about his bike and you did such a good job and it was really cool that you showed it off. And there's some people that will say, like, you know, hey, we want to see more naked chicks. I'm like, well, buy porn.
Yeah, you know? There you go.
And it's one thing that me and Chris have always talked about back and forth when it was funny because me and him were telling a story years ago, and he said, I saw this beautiful bike in Easy Riders, and there was one particular part of this bike I wanted to see, and in every picture they took of that side of the bike, the girl's leg was in the way of the one thing I wanted to see.
Right.
He goes, I never want that to happen in my magazine. He goes, so they devote one page. There's one page, a pinup page. That's every month. There's one page that'll have girl bike, girl car, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's it, because it's not really about that. It's like, if you want to look at girls, buy porn. You want to look at motorcycles, buy motorcycle porn, buy CycleSource, you know?
And when we come back, we'll talk more with Milwaukee Mike about the CycleSource website, Europe, and his journalism background.
Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking To Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking To Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number 2, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
So we're back. We're talking to Milwaukee Mike from CycleSource Magazine, the Midwest Associate Editor for the magazine. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the web. And
sure.
You've probably seen all these changes through the time that you've been there.
I am so not the web guy. I mean, the person you really need to talk to about that is the girl who runs our website stuff.
But definitely you see how amazing that is.
Yeah, it's something that in the time that I've worked for Chris and the magazine, it's gone from very little to very much. Mm-hmm. And that's very much on Chris and Carrie Schindler. Carrie does a 90% of all of our web stuff, and Chris is he's a very forward thinking guy, you know, for somebody who's, you know, most of us are in, you know, are approaching our 40s and into our 50s, and even some of us older, and that's a fair amount younger too, so we try to get a balance, you know. You don't want to have everything based too young or too old,
because
then you miss everything in the middle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, Chris is very up. Chris is an artist on top of doing the magazine. He's a fantastic painter. He's now playing bass again, and he's performing music, and he writes, obviously, and so he's incorporating all of his other interests besides motorcycles and into his love of motorcycles. So stuff like he's playing with the band again, and they're playing dates in Daytona now. That's going to be their big breakout, you know. And so it's Big House Pete, and that's the name of his band, and they're going to be doing this thing, and they're going to be playing in Daytona. And so they're incorporating, and he's also doing the editor's choice thing, which he started in Vegas last year and is now growing huge. So now when we go to the larger events like Daytona and Sturgis, he'll have, you know, this, I think as of the other day when I talked to him, he had 16 editors from 16 different motorcycle publications that are all going to be judging the bike show in Daytona. Mm-hmm. And that's all done through social media, all done through Instagram and web. And like you were talking about earlier, he started the new thing now with, you know, we have digital subscription for the magazine, which is really good, especially for overseas. You know, like I said, when we're pushing the magazine into Europe and Canada and New Zealand and Australia, moving those people, their information faster than we can ship the print stuff to them, because mail takes time and
sure, yeah.
And so they'll actually get their issues, like in the States, if you sign up for the regular print subscription, $25 a year for that, and if you sign up for that, you'll get your February issue in like the end of December, because that's the way print works. So by the time it actually reaches the farthest place away, it's actually February. And so these people can actually, if they do the combination, they can see what's coming month ahead of time than when they would get their digital, their print copy, I'm
right,
saying.
Right, yeah.
They can look at their digital issue as a digital subscriber, which is an additional $10 a year. And not only that, but you get the expanded. Like, if I have to chop, and if I have an article and I'm only given enough room to do, say, 1,800 words and 7 to 8 photos of a featured bike, mm-hmm. you go to the digital subscription and you'll find every word that I've written, which could be up to 2,000 or 3,000 words, plus 100 photos of the bike. Yeah. So you'll get all the close-ups, all the back shots, all the everything that didn't make the cut for print will be, or not everything, but most everything that's printable, you know, that would be printable, but there's no space. So that's all on the digital. Plus there's also the regular website. You know, if you go to cyclesource.com, you can check us out, see if you like what you see. We have a header on the top of the page, and there's, of course, the current magazine is always featured on the page. But you go to there's a reader blog and a day-to-day, you know, a ticker. And then there's also a news section. If you go to the news section, that's also the free digital stuff. And mm-hmm. there's articles and stuff that, smaller stuff that maybe it wasn't warranted for print, but or here's a preview of something that will be in print in the next couple months. I did an event last Friday, because I live in Milwaukee. The Harley-Davidson Museum does these shows, let's call them. The first time I went to one, Sugar Bear was there, and he was there talking about his life in motorcycles. It was a beautiful 2-hour program, and it was full of information and awesome. And then last Friday I did, and what they had is they had the winningest flat track racer in Harley-Davidson history, Scott Parker, Kenny Coolbeth, who is their current flat track Harley-Davidson factory rider, and the top two pro street drag bike guys, which was Andy Hines and Ed Krawick. And they showed the new bikes with the new paint schemes for the year, the new flat track bike, the new bodywork for the one drag bike, and then the actual drag bike that Eddie rides with the two paint jobs and their race leathers and everything too. And then for 2 hours they had a moderator and they told stories about their years in racing so far or to continue. And then Scott, as like the winningest racer in flat track history, I mean, he's 94 wins in 20 some years, and the closest guy mm-hmm. to him is 60 wins behind.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's a record I don't think is going to be very hard to beat, but interesting. And it's like, okay, but that's the information I can put out there now, so I'll put that on the webpage, and
right,
it's there, and then eventually it might make it to print, and if it doesn't, at least people can still read it.
And when you talk about the extra content that's on the web, I don't think you mentioned, but in the magazine actually, it's some of the pages are scannable.
Yeah, they Chris started that a couple years ago when we went to the V-Twin show. He's 4 years ago, I believe. He saw, you know, because you would walk up to the booths and people would have the little scanners for the iPhones. Well, he started doing that in the magazine. So if you have information, and even some of the ads have them, so you can expand right, sure. even the ads.
Yeah, kind of like those QR codes, I think
exactly,
they are.
Exactly
they,
what
yeah,
they
stuff
are.
Like that.
Exactly,
yeah.
QR codes.
Yeah, so. Yeah, very cool. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
And now, like we were talking before, too, Instagram. He's starting very hard hitting the Instagram thing. Every month he's doing these Instagram
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the helmet one.
Photo contests, yeah. basically. He does a $50 cool photo of the month thing. And then he also does... Now he's doing the thing with the Instagram. He's trying to get that, you know, to blow up a little bit, both for the print and the digital and the web page.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, helmets this month. So if you got cool helmets, take an Instagram picture and send them.
Yeah, there you go. And where do they send that to exactly?
CycleSource.com.
Cool. You've mentioned a couple of times about the overseas market. How important is the overseas market?
It wasn't something we necessarily went chasing. Mm-hmm. It just kind of fell on us. There's a lot of folks that come from overseas for the bigger rallies, and we're always there. You know, Daytona, Sturgis, Laughlin, Laconia, and Daytona, Sturgis particularly. And they take the magazines home. And then people that live over there wanted to get more magazines, so they started contacting us about sending them. And the thing that we're doing to kind of stick with our grassroots, especially with Europe and Canada so far, we're still working on how we're going to do this in New Zealand and Australia, is we're going to actually direct mail them to shops. We're going to go pick out, like, 5 shops in a country and direct mail them to them rather than go through the news agents. We're going to do it to them directly, so they can actually make sure that they get into the hands of people that actually appreciate them.
Right.
And
it's all about that grassroots.
And if the demand is bigger, then we'll send more.
Yeah.
You know, rather than, you know, again, why pay a middleman?
Yeah.
We can get it directly to the people. And now we got a newer guy. Now he did the cover of last month's magazine. He shot the cover, the bike that was on the cover and the guy that was on the cover. His name is Grizzly, and he's done an article every month now for like the last, I want to say, 6 months, and some stuff in the past here's and there's. And he's in a European group of guys called the Rogues MC, and they do beautiful, beautiful European style, which is different than the American style. The same as Australia has their own deal. And we know Doc from Heavy Duty in Australia very well. He's a really good cat, and he has told us umpteen times that we need to start sending magazines there because the people there love what we do. And I think it comes back to that grassroots thing.
Yes. Yeah.
They can appreciate because they can relate. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not rock stars. We're not, you know, unattainable jackasses. We're just
sociable.
Average guys who have real jobs besides the magazine. I mean, I do a full-time job as well as the magazine, and so it keeps me busy, and I hope it keeps me out of trouble.
So far, maybe? Now, is that local? Because you do signs, right?
Yeah, signs and neon.
Can you mention that? Do you have a website for that?
I do. Well, it's just a company. And actually, it's just getting changed over. So right now, you can check me on Facebook, and you can find me under Milwaukee Mike. Or the name of the neon side of my thing is called Neanderthal Neon, and I do custom neons. A lot of tattoo parlors, a lot of stuff that average sign companies won't touch because of what the content is. I got no morals when it comes to that.
Sort of grassroots,
I guess. Yeah. I mean, that's like whatever's floating your boat. I don't judge. I just do. You know,
you'll make the sign.
Yeah, I got one actually. I caught a little hell, and if I can divert a little bit.
Yeah,
a friend of mine hit me up on Facebook the other day. He wants to make these neon signs. I haven't heard back from him yet, but he. It was an outline of the state of Wisconsin, and it says "Drink Wisconsinably." And so some people had a little meltdown about that because, oh, you're promoting alcoholism. I'm like, dude, it's going in his house. Really?
Yeah.
You know, like, come on.
That's a pretty cool slogan, though.
Yeah, it's an older one. It's one you don't see very often, but it's one of those things. There's something about folks in this part of the world, and they just handle it.
You know? Sometimes controversy helps get you recognized, too.
Right? You'll do that, too. You know,
put it somewhere public for a while.
Any press is good press, right?
Yeah, maybe make a billboard, big neon billboard.
Yeah, promoting alcoholism and stupidity, right? Yeah. No, Wisconsin's full of that already.
Your background. I know you took some journalism. And how'd you kind of get into writing for the magazine?
Like I was in high school. I wasn't any kind of a stellar student or anything like that, but I did end up with a scholarship out of high school to in a journalism program as long as I was pursuing something in journalism. So when I finished high school, I moved to Milwaukee, and I was going to UWM, which I lovingly refer to as UDumDum because it's kind of the second class school, they always say. And a lot of people, when they think of college in Milwaukee, they think of Marquette, and they kind of forget that there's a whole big ass university there.
It's school nonetheless.
That's for sure. Yeah. And so I went into a journalism program in secondary or college, but they were training us all to be newspaper writers, like with very antiquated, thrust, you know, like they wanted you to be like basically like a newspaper writer from like the movies, you know, like it's the 40s and you're there with a pad and you have these certain set rules and you can't break them because of all the stuff that goes with libel and
red tape.
So I kind of lost interest in it and stepped away and actually continued going to college and was looking at doing a medical thing. And then I worked, and in the summers I worked with my hands. I built stuff, and that's how I kind of got into the sign industry. I was doing some work for a guy that did signs, and I kind of progressed into that. And then I learned how to bend neon, and then I learned how to fabricate steel and aluminum, and kind of put it all together. And I've been doing that for 20
years. Sounds like commercial news, bending and fabricating.
It is, yeah, right. But that's what I do on my day to day, and I've been doing that for 26 years, and. On and off, and I do this as this is my love. That's work. This is love. I mean, I love that too, but it drives me crazy. Same as this, but it's one of those things. Like I get to meet some of the most irritating yet interesting people. I get to meet people that are just like, I don't want to ever talk to that guy again, but then I end up being good friends with them. How does that work, right? You know? And but it's good. It's just me. I try to just. Remain the same goofy guy that I always was and always try to be, you know.
So maybe before we go, you can tell us what stands out for you the most within what you've been doing with CycleSource. Somebody that you met or something that you wrote about?
I worked in music for years and years, so I never got that whole like fan adoration thing. I mean, there's very very few times in my whole life that I've actually met somebody and been like starstruck. Mm-hmm. The one time it actually happened was the one time I actually met. I actually had a long conversation with Lemmy when Motorhead was playing in town.
I met Lemmy myself,
and he was quite a character, and it was crazy because he's British, obviously, and he loves old Triumph motorcycles, and I had ridden one of my old Triumphs down to the show that night, and he came, and what I used to do for this place was I just did, like, basic, like, I oversaw security and did talent concierge, they called it, so it was basically like, what do you need? What'll make you happy? What'll make you go on stage, you know? So I acquired whatever needed to be done, and so I did deal sometimes directly with talent, and he came into the bar where I was sitting doing my thing, and asked me if I knew whose little Triumph was sitting out front, and I said, yeah, that belongs to me, and we struck up a conversation, and the next thing I know it's 3 hours later and we're still talking. It was great.
Just don't tell me that he was double riding on the back with those short shorts from
no, not like Eat the Rich, which is one of my faves. It was one of those things. But because of that, and because of my exposure to that, I don't necessarily get real, you know, oh, there's somebody that's famous. You know, who cares? They're just people.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's always cool to meet Lemmy, though.
Yeah. It was special. Lemmy is God, right?
You know, pretty much, I think, yeah.
And it was one of the things, you know, that like, so I get to meet, and sometimes to me, the people who aren't famous are people that are more, oh my God, you know, like that. I mean, like a year and a half ago I was out in California and Sugar Bear invited me to his place, and I got to see his entire like mini museum of the history of the black motorcycle clubs in the LA area and the stuff that he owns and the last bike that Benny Hardy ever made. And if you know anything about Benny Hardy is the guy who originally made the two Easy Rider bikes, you know, and he was, a lot of people didn't know that, and it was like they were built by a black dude, and people were like, oh, you can't tell nobody that, they wouldn't put them on magazines. I'm like, really? And but now the countries, you know, it's caught up. It's not as limited as things once were. Right. It's not as bigoted. It's not any of that. But it's all good, you know. And I guess it's just for me. I like to try to approach people as people, famous or not. Who cares, you know? And it's just like, I love motorcycles. I love all kinds of motorcycles. I'm not a particular brand or a particular make. I tend to lean towards Harley Davidson's more these days than I had in the past. But I've always had old HDs, and I started on Jap bikes just like everybody because that's all I could afford, you know?
Except me. Started out on British.
Yeah, and that was the first thing I got. I went from an old Jap bike to a Harley, and then when Harleys got too expensive to buy anymore, then I went to Brit bikes, and I got a stable of those. So, yeah.
I've had some old Harleys and old Triumphs that I still wish I had today.
At this point, I own every British bike I ever owned with the exception of one BSA.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty
cool.
Which
is why I got way too many bikes.
And probably we'll have some more, maybe.
And not enough to ride them all, right? And only two arms and two legs to ride them, you know?
I really appreciate you being on the show, and again, CycleSource.com.
CycleSource.com, and for anybody that wants to check it out, you know, don't be afraid to come say hi if you see us at anything. Everybody from the magazine is extremely approachable. They're like me. They're all very easygoing guys and gals. Everybody's, you know, you might catch us on a day where we're busy and we might be a little short, but, you know, wait an hour, and when you see us with a cocktail in our hand, then you're good, you know?
There you go.
So, yeah.
Midwest Associate Editor, Milwaukee Mike, thanks for being on the show.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
a really cool grassroots publication, CycleSource Magazine. Check them out online, cyclesource.com, for more information and to check out the writing of Milwaukee Mike. I'll see everybody next week. Thanks for listening.